Reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 15, verse 68 through 92. Lord Chaitanya glorifies the cooking standard of Raghava Pandit. It's a very interesting story for anyone who prepares offerings to Krishna. Any husbands or wives or devotees, men or ladies who cook for the Lord or prepare offerings for their Thakurji, Govardhan, Srila, Giriraj, Shaligram, or Radha Krishna, Gornitai. You can hear about this, the perfect example of attachment of Raghava Pandit for his Thakur. Raghava Pandite Kahin Vachana Saras Tomara Shuddha Preme Amihai Tumaravas. Mahaprabhu spoke some relishable words to Raghava Pandit. I am obliged to you due to your pure love for me. Shuddha Prem. Inhara Krishna Sevara Katashuna Sarvajan Parama Pavitra Seva Ati Sarvotam. Mahaprabhu then told all the devotees, listen everyone, Shuna Sarvajan, Krishna Seva Kata. That's interesting. We often hear about Krishna Leela Kata or Hari Kata or Krishna Rasa Kata, but I've never heard this term, Krishna Seva Kata. The discussion, of course, we talk about it all the time. I mean, his service or my service or your service. What's yours? Prabhu, what's your service? They meet, some devotees meet each other. They're from different temples. Oh, you're from Paris. What is your service? Oh, I take Mahaprasad every day. Prasad Seva. That's very nice. Anything else? No, I just about all I do. That's all I'm good for. Well, you seem to do it quite well because you're about 100 kilos. So you do very good prasad seva. So here Mahaprabhu is actually mentioning himself that this is actually a suitable topic. Kata means topic, discussion, something to be shared amongst devotees is called kata. Kata. And he wants everyone to hear it. Sarvajana. Sarvajana, jana means living entities. I mean, it even includes birds. The word jana includes human beings and animals and birds and anyone who has ears. So listen, anyone of you that have ears, you should hear about the wonderful services that Krishna's devotees render. It is very attractive. It is very satisfying, and it is very purifying for the consciousness. It elevates one from matter to spirit. It creates a spiritual feeling, a spiritual inclination in the heart just to hear the topics about the service of Krishna's devotees. That's why the most popular books amongst the Vaishnavas are books about the lives of the devotees, like Chaitanya Bhagavat. Chaitanya Bhagavat has so many descriptions about the life of Lord Chaitanya, who is also showing the actions of a devotee. And in that book you read how after Lord Chaitanya was initiated, then he became so humble and became so much inclined towards serving the devotees. He came back from Gaya. And then he insisted on washing the clothes of the devotees, and then he would prepare them, fold them very nicely, or iron them, or something. Then he would carry them to the devotees' house. He would carry water pots when the devotees came to the Ganga to fill up their water pots for puja. He would carry them to their houses. He would carry their puja baskets to the Ganga so they could do puja. He was an extremely transformed personality. Before, he used to walk very proud, And when he was a young boy, when he was a teenage pundit, or maybe not even teenager, actually, Balak pundit, young boy, youthful pundit, he used to imitate and make fun of others and challenge people. He would present an argument and say, listen, can you defeat this argument? On the basis of Vyakaran or Naya, logic or grammar. And they would try their best and he would laugh and say, you stupid fool. You can't defeat this argument. And then he would say, I'll show you, I'll defeat my own argument. So then he would overturn his own argument and then turn it back the other way. And then when teachers, some of his teachers like Murari Gupta was one of, was a local, he was a teacher but he was and a guru, but he was also a doctor. And he would walk down the street with his disciples. Then Nimai Pandit would fall in behind him and he would imitate his walking style and gestures. You're like, hey man. You know, he'd walk whatever way he was walking. And then Murari Gupta, because he was also Pandit, but he wasn't a Brahmin, so he's called Gupta. But he would go like this to teach something, show something, example way of speaking, some gesture. And then Nimai Pandit was walking right behind him and go like this, and imitating his movements with his, and making fun and mocking him with his students, with his own friend, not his students, but his friends. Then Murari Gupta would turn around and say, what are you doing? And he said, oh, no, I'm not doing anything. So this way, Lord Chaitanya was rather bold and arrogant. He was a bold and arrogant child scholar of Navadvipa. But after he was initiated by Ishwara Puri into the Gopal mantra, Om Gopi Vallabhaya Swaha, 10-syllable Gopal mantra, Om Gopi Vallabhaya Swaha, by chanting that mantra, then he felt himself to be a servant of the servant of the servant of the servants. And after chanting that mantra for some time, then this kind of bhav came into him, the bhav of the gopis. At least he exhibited that at this time in his life, after initiation. Because the gopis, there's no one more humble than the gopis. There's no one more absorbed in the mood, in the bhav of seva, seva bhav, in a mood of serving the Lord than the gopis. And Lord Chaitanya himself, he formulated this verse. Whereas before he was very much proud that aham pandit. He was very much in pandit bhav, Ishwara bhav. Aham pandit, I am a pandit. I am Nimai pandit. Don't you know? But after his diksha, then he himself recited this verse, Naham vipro nacha narapatir vapi navi vaishu shudro naham varni nacha griha patir novanishtir itova kintu prodyan nikala paramananda purna vritavder gopi vartu padakamalior das 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 anadas. So he became so much transformed by the contact of the spiritual current, the current of purity and transformation coming from his guru, that then he wanted to serve everyone and he wanted to serve the devotees. So here, it was his greatest relish, besides washing the clothes for the devotees, carrying their water pots, carrying baskets of fruits for them, which is all explained in Chaitanya Bhagavat. His greatest happiness was to glorify the devotees. And when he would start glorifying the devotees, the Krishna's coverage says, it seemed that he had 1,000 mouths, anantamukham or sahasramukham, thousands of mouths, that he couldn't stop. Oh, he's so great, he's like this, he's like this. Whereas we are rather have the opposite tendency. We have 1,000 mouths to bad mouth. We bad mouth the devotees rather than good mouth them. Bad mouthing is a phrase in English which means speaking vile words or bad words about someone, putting them down. But here, and so that's what I was saying, that the books that are so much popular among the Vaishnavas are books to describe the actions and services of the devotees. And this is like Chaitanya Bhagavat itself. It's so much about the lives of the devotees. And books like biographies of Vaishnavas and books like Braj Ke Bhakta, which was portion of it was translated in English as Saints of Braj. It was compiled by Obi Al Kapoor and the Saints of Bengal. Actually, it's all in one book, but there's like 250 saints in the Hindi version, lives of 250 saints of Braj, and all about their services and their realizations and their how they thought and how they felt and how they acted. People were very impressed and very attracted. Oh, how does he act? How does he move? So here Lord Chaitanya is telling Krishna Sevara Kata Shuna Sarvajan. He says, listen now everyone, this is very interesting topics. This is not about Krishna Leela Kata. This is not Krishna Leela Kata or Hari Kata. Topics about Hari and his devotees, his Prem Leelas, his Leela Madhurya. This is about Krishna Seva, Seva Kata. This is talks about so-and-so's service. Oh, do you know that so-and-so, she makes garlands, flower garlands for the Lord. Oh, so, big deal. What's big about that? You can hire anybody to make a garland. You can teach a 10-year-old kid off the street, look, if you make all these garlands, I'll give you 5 rupees. You go like, poke like this, and you go like this, and like that. Make a garland. So it's not any difficult service that requires so much expertise, initially, let's say. But if that person making the garlands is a devotee, then you'll see that they'll make some extraordinary garlands. So much, because as they make the garlands, then Krishna will give them intelligence. Tesham sadata yuktanam bhajatam pratipurvakam. As one manifests more and more love for Krishna, then Krishna manifests more and more intelligence. So, and this intelligence is used by the loving devotee to serve Krishna more and more, newer ways with more finesse and variety and satisfaction for the Lord. So then, an accomplished garland maker, devotee garland maker, Krishna Dasi or Krishna Das, the mala maker, they will become so expert in making malas that they can't even figure out how they made them. Flowers are going like this, and there they go around in a circle. They're going like this, and all of a sudden there's flowers that go around a circle, and there's manjaris that come off of those ones in a circle are manjaris, and they go like this, and there's some hanging like this. Very intricate garlands. That if you show some karmi flower garland maker who makes garlands for money and is not a devotee really, or maybe partially uncovered devotee, he'll say, oh, how did you do this? What is this? I've never seen like this. This is extraordinary. 9 different flowers and different patterns and most attractive. Because we've been seeing garlands for 30 years in Krishna Balaram Temple, and there's some really astounding garlands come out of there, that little garland factory they have over there. So someone might notice this, and then they may glorify that individual devotee for their service rendered and point the attention of the Bhakta Samaj towards that devotee. Just see the absorption, just see the purity, just see the creativity in this devotee's service. Please appreciate this, and please try to learn from this and become so creative and so devoted and so surrendered that your service takes on newer and newer dimensions of excellence and perfection for the Lord's satisfaction. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as I mentioned, it says that when he would glorify the devotees, he would seem to exhibit 1,000 mouths. And Haridas did this, and this one did that, and this one did that. That would be his greatest thrill. And we can take inspiration from Lord Chaitanya's example, how much happiness and how much satisfaction that this activity gives the Lord. If the Lord sees that his devotees are also engaged in correctly and aptly, not unduly, but accurately and correctly glorifying the services of the devotees without any ulterior motive. You may be in a temple and you may glorify your senior because you want to get some kickback. Oh, our temple commander is so wonderful. And you glorify him because you're thinking, if I say he's really nice, then maybe I'll get more Mahaprasadam, or maybe he'll take me on his team. So there's some motivation, some contamination in our actions. It will always have backfire, as they say. It'll have an opposite result. But we simply want to glorify the devotees. And it comes, we come to a platform where we actually relish it. We relish Harikatha, hearing Harikatha, speaking about Hari. We relish Lilakatha, hearing about it and speaking about it. Because as you speak about Lilakatha more and more, you actually enter into the Lila. Because Krishna becomes so pleased and said, listen, you're always talking about all this stuff. Why don't you come inside the Lila yourself? And this is what happens with devotees. Because when advanced devotees speak Lilakatha, they're speaking, all of a sudden they enter the Lila, then it takes a new shape and goes in a new direction. And when they speak the Lilakatha, it's different than even you read about the Lila. Because Krishna takes them inside. We've had the experience of hearing advanced devotees speak Lilakatha about Lilas that we thought we knew that are even described in Bhagavatam. And as the Katha unfolded, we went into newer rooms in this house of Lila. And I thought this Lila only had 7 rooms. And as this person started speaking it, and then all of a sudden we entered 9 rooms, and then 10 rooms, and 11 rooms. And everyone else was amazed. What is happening here? And it's not that he had good powers of imagination, or he was a creative speaker and could weave tapestries of nuances and new flavors and introduce new ideas and scenes. It was actually all happening from his Lila Spurti. His Lila Spurti means the individual devotee's vision of the Lila that Krishna wants to grant him, because the Lilas are unlimited and always going on in a different way. So sometimes the advanced devotee, while he's speaking Lila Katha, he's given a Spurti to share with the devotees, just to nourish their bhakti lata and for his own relishment, which he compassionately shares with others if he's a pracharak. If he's not a pracharak, then he does bhajan and just drinks the nectar. He gets intoxicated privately. He doesn't bother intoxicating others. But some people, like they said, that Lord Chaitanya told Nityananda, he said, you're a drunk and you're always hanging around with drunks. Like Jagai and Madai. Because Lord Chaitanya was intoxicated in love of God. And he wanted to intoxicate even drunks with love of God. So now in this story, this is the introduction, that Mahaprabhu is speaking, he says, he's speaking some relishable words about Raghava Pandit. And then he wants everyone, I'm going to speak. Now listen, everyone, this is really going to be good. Just hear about the pure devotional service rendered to Krishna by Raghava Pandit. Indeed, Raghava Pandit's service is supremely pure and highly accomplished. Mahaprabhu spoke this 500 years ago, and all the people that were assembled there in Sarvabhauma's house, and they were listening to this, because this was in Shantipur. Mahaprabhu had taken sannyas and come back, and he couldn't really come to his own home, but he went to Shantipur, which is about 20 kilometers from Mayapur, maybe a little bit more. And all the devotees from Mayapur, Navadvip, they ran down there to meet the Lord and see his new hairdo, you know, because he was sporting a new hairdo. You know, he kind of secretly and privately took sannyas and then zipped out of the place or left the place. So everybody wanted to see, what does he look like? You know, 7-foot-tall sannyasi and sannyas robes, glowing reddish robes and shaved head. And so everybody went down to meet their beloved Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In Shantipur, excuse me, I made a mistake. Actually, this is in Puri. This is in the house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. That other thing actually took place like that in Shantipur. Everybody went there to meet. But this is in Puri. Excuse, I made a mistake. This is in Puri at Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's house. And there are many devotees there that had come for the Chaturmasya to stay 4 months in Puri. So they're gathered there. So he says, listen, everyone, I'm going to tell you about this. Ara dravya rahu shuna nare kelera kata pancha gandakari nare kela vikaya tata. He said, apart from other commodities, dravya means objects or objects, commodities. Apart from other commodities, just hear about Raghava's offering of coconuts, nariyal. It's very interesting. It says, shuna nari kelera kata. You hear a hari kata? This is coconut kata. Nariyal, they say in Hindi. So Nari Kelera is the incident. This is the incident of the offering of offering coconuts. So this is coconut kata. You've heard of Ras Leela? This is coconut Leela. A Nariyal Leela. Who would ever think? Oh, this Krishna, he's having Leelas with everything. The gopis with rocks. He has these Leelas of rocks and with girls and water and Jalkeli water Leelas and flute Leelas and mountain Leelas. And even has Leelas with coconuts. Right? It's quite interesting. A coconut is sold at the rate of 5 gandas each. Nowadays, a coconut is sold at the rate of 10 rupees, sometimes 12. Vatite katashata vrikshe laksha laksha fal tarapi shunena yata mishta narikela. Although Raghava Pandit has hundreds of trees, coconut trees, and millions of fruits. Seems to have good supply. It's like in Mayapur, ISKCON, they have mango trees at the Jagannath temple near Mayapur, ISKCON. And those trees, each tree produces 5,000 to 7,000 mangoes. Because I knew the in charge of the temple, and I saw a lot of mangoes on the tree when I was there one summer. I said, how many mangoes are that? It looks like a lot. He said, well, if it's not a very good tree, like this one, maybe 5,000. 5,000? I said, but some good trees like that, that tree will produce in the season, it will produce 7,000 mangoes. And I said, wow. Because one mango is 5 rupees. And it averages about, when you buy mangoes, you get about, it averages about 5 rupees a mango. A retail price of 5 rupees times 7, one tree is giving 35,000 rupees of mangoes, $1,000 of mangoes. So Krishna's Om Purnamada Purnamidam, he's complete, and from the complete unit, so many complete things. Here, have a mango seed. Here, just get lost. Take a mango seed. Oh, there's one seed. This is lousy. You only gave me this one seed. Just forget it. You throw it in the ground. Out of anger, somebody gives you a mango seed. That is a useless thing. You throw it in the mud, and then you go away and come back to your father's plantation. What's this? Well, this is that seed you planted. Well, those fruits, that's 7,000 mangoes. Wowee, that one seed turned into $1,000 every year for 30 years, 40 years. So, Raghava Pandit had lots and lots of coconuts. But still, he was eager to hear about the place where sweet coconuts were available. So this indicates, for example, you may be growing flowers in your house for your Thakurji, and you think, oh, they're okay, I have a good supply. And someone says, oh, you know, you have these champa flowers. But in Gauradham, someone has a tree with red champa flowers. And there's these red ones. They're actually red in color, with a little tiny yellow inside, but they're actually red, reddish orange, and they smell like coconuts. Actually, when I smell them, it smells just like parachute coconut oil. This is coconut oil. Exactly like that. It doesn't smell at all like the standard champak. So, oh, really? Oh, I have to go there and get some of those flowers. Like when we're devotees in temple. Do you know over here in this big rich man's house, there's so many of these flowers coming, and it's easy, you can sneak in his yard. Acha, I have to get those. The devotees are famous around the world for procuring various flowers from various places. And they have to be careful, because cemeteries are full of flowers, because that's the service that people do after they die. They push up flowers. And we use this expression. I forget the context, but someone says that after you die, you might as well enjoy life. You should enjoy life to the fullest, because after you die, all you're going to do is push up flowers. Because in Christians, they dig a hole and they throw the body inside. It's not exactly samadhi for some sadhu, but they dig a hole and they throw the body inside, and then they put a little stone over there. And then what happens usually, because it's a cemetery, they may plant flowers, We see so many flowers growing in cemeteries. So they say, what good are you? You might as well enjoy life, because when you're dead, all you do is you'll push up flowers. Because you'll be under the ground and you'll be pushing the flowers out of the ground, pushing them up. So we go everywhere to obtain flowers. Let's say obtain, you can figure out what that means. We go everywhere to obtain flowers for Thakurji's service, but we're forbidden from picking flowers from the cemetery. These are considered contaminated because they're touched by dead bodies or whatever. So Hari Bhakti Vilas says, don't offer flowers that come from the cemetery. Anyway, back to the coconut lila. This is great. Huh? Nare Kelera Kata. Should start a newsletter. Krishna Katamrita. Nare Kelera Katamrita. The nectarine topics about coconuts. Any nutcases that want to hear this kata, they can get the weekly newsletter on their computer. Nare Kelera. Nare Kela. Nare Kelera Kata. Just very interesting. I think Krishna's Kaviraj has a good sense of humor. So then he heard, he could be lazy. Raghava Panda could be like us. Oh, why should I go over there and get those red flowers, champak flowers? I have a garden full of flowers. Why should I have to go over there? And forget it. I just pick flowers here, offer to Thakurji, and bas ho gaya. So he wasn't lazy. This is the point that's being made in this verse. Because if you just read the verse, you say, so what? He had hundreds of coconut trees and millions of coconuts, but still he's very eager to hear about Mishta Narikela, some sweet coconuts. Oh, there's some better coconuts on the other side in Koladweep or in Madhyadweep, and I can get those, or wherever he was. I think he was living in Panihati actually. Raghava Pandit, you may be hearing that there's some better coconuts. Oh, on the other side of the Ganga, there's some really nice coconut grove. Really sweet coconuts. He could say, oh, why should I cross the Ganga to get those coconuts? And Panihati, I'm right here in Panihati. Why should I go to trouble? So he never thought like that. He wasn't lazy in his service. He was very eager. Lord Chaitanya is narrating step by step about the coconut lila. I mean, this is God is taking time out to talk about some simple thing like a coconut. It's not a big deal, a coconut. Eka eka falera mulya dia chari chari pan dashakro shahaite anaya kariya yatan. Raghava collects coconuts with great endeavor from a place 20 miles away. It's one thing that go down the street and borrow a few flowers from your neighbor. But it's another one, get in the car, the temple car, and drive 20 miles away to obtain a few better flowers. That's how, just see. He didn't have a car either. Or a helicopter. He had to walk there. He collects coconuts with great endeavor. Chari Chari Pan. From 20 miles away, and he pays 4 panas each for them. So he's getting a discount. No, panas. Oh, yeah, it says that a coconut is sold at the rate of 5 gandas each, but he's paying 4 panas each. So I don't know so much about this monetary system, because you can't look in a newspaper and find out how many rupees a pana is worth, like dollars and marks and euros, whatever they call it. Euros, you can find what the conversion rate is. So I don't know what the conversion rate of gandas or panas is. But apparently, when they talked about the basic rate of coconuts, 5 gandas, Lord Chaitanya is telling all these details. He's paying 4 panas each. That means they must be more, a pana must be more than a ganda. So he's going 20 miles away and he's paying a good price for them. It's not that he's saying, well, why should I spend so much money? I have coconuts here, my own. And the going rate, even if I go to the market around my house, the going rate is 5 gandas each. Now I've gone 20 miles away and I have to pay even more. Why should I waste my time? Why should I waste my money? Well, after all, a coconut is a coconut. What's a coconut? What's the big deal? Sometimes someone's very concerned about their puja, their husband or their wife might say, why do you want to get these organic carrots? You know, just get these regular carrots and they're five, these are only 50 cents and, or these are 5 rupees, you have to spend 15 rupees. And then the wife says, no, but it's for Thakurji, it should be the best. Are you stupid? Why waste the money? You know, the husbands and wives, they fight this all the time about spending money. Because the wives don't make it, they just spend it. Sometimes they make it. But there's arguments like this. Why are you getting this best quality thing? Because I have one student, and sometimes they buy something for the ashram or for Thakurji, and then they explain the whole lila that they get involved with, revolving. They want to buy some, like, say, water pitcher to serve the devotees. So you can get a water pitcher for 200 rupees, and get a water pitcher for 900 rupees. So they say, oh, it's for the devotees, it should be very good, nice quality, good quality. The husband says, oh, these stupid guys, you know, why should you buy, just get the 200 rupee one. No, it's nice, it'll last for a year and bust and break, and that's it, let them cry, who cares. But she said, no, why don't we get one that lasts for 10 years or a long time? So this principle is very interesting, a very important principle, that take the trouble, be... These two qualities are mentioned here, that he, with great endeavor, he was very eager to hear where he could get better material or better quality objects or dravya to offer to his Thakurji. He was eager to hear about it. One thing is to be eager to hear about it. Oh, that's really nice. Oh, that's great. But then he was eager to do something about it. He heard about it, then he used great endeavor to try to get those things. And even a physical endeavor to get there, and then spending extra money to purchase them. Pratidina pancha sata phala cholana sushitala karite rake jale dubaina. Every day, Raghava took 5 to 7 coconuts. He clipped them, in other words, he trimmed them. He put them in water to keep them cool. So now he's taking a lot of care. He didn't have a refrigerator. But if you have a big basin of water and then you submerge something there, it can keep it cool. It can protect it from the air temperature. The air temperature quickly goes up and down, but water temperature goes up and down very slowly. So at night, the water may become very cool because the air is cool. And then if it's a big basin, that body of water will stay cool for many hours, even though the air temperature quickly rises when the sun rises. Because we have that experience of trying to offer cool mangoes to our Thakurji. So I have a big bucket of water and it's cold from the air temperature and it keeps the mangoes cold even though the air becomes very hot. If you keep them outside in your kitchen on the counter, you don't have, because in Braj maybe you don't have a refrigerator, and then the air temperature goes very high, then the mango becomes the same temperature as the air. But if it's in a big basin of water that was cool in the night, then it stays cold. And later when you offer Thakurji a nice cold mango, and that's, as everyone knows, it's very tasty. So this is called taking care, TLC, tender loving care for the pleasure of Krishna. And this is coming in a parampara. This is called the consideration of love. Love has its own, creates its own ways of acting. Bhogir samaya puna chule samskari Krishna samarpana kari mukha chidra kari. At the time of offering bhog, the coconuts are again clipped and cleansed. After holes are made in them at the top, they are offered to Lord Krishna. Krishna se nari kela jalapana kari kabu shunya phala rakin kabu jalabari. Lord Krishna drinks the juice from these coconuts, and sometimes the coconuts are left drained of juice, and other times the coconuts remain filled with juice. So he prepares them in different ways. He takes all the juice, because there's different stages of coconuts. There's malai. If you get a young coconut, very green coconut, then it has very sweet water and not much coconut meat inside, they say meat or substance, but has very little, just but nice water, very immature coconut, very, very sweet water. And it's a little bit what we call, they call it malai, because it looks like the cream of milk. On top of milk, that thin layer of cream on good milk is called malai. So when you open the coconut, you get the water, and they say, malai habe. Malai habe. And they say, balo, or whatever. So then you drink the water, and you get that little malai. It's supposed to be good for your stomach. But then you wait longer, then the malai thickens. It starts to thicken and becomes the traditional coconut that we see usually and eat. And then the water starts to turn slightly sour. It's not so sweet. But then that sweetness of the water goes into the malai, and that becomes sweet. So it's in different stages. Generally, he would poke a hole in the top and offer the water, sweet water. But sometimes he would get a more mature coconut and open it up and give it the coconut inside. Jala shunya faladeki pandit harashita falabangi shashekare satpatra purita. When Raghava Pandit sees that the juice has been drunk from the coconuts, he is very pleased. He then breaks the coconuts, takes out the pulp, that's the word, the coconut pulp, and puts it on another plate. So he has quite an intimate relationship with the Lord. He offers the coconut. I remember Srila Prabhupada in Mayapur. He was very fond of coconuts, as is would any person who appreciates good things, sattvic things. Sattvic people like sattvic drinks. Rajasic people like rajasic drinks, right? And tamasic people like tamasic drinks. So coconut water is a pure object, shuddha dravya, and it's very much sattvic. So pure people, they like these pure drinks. So after Prabhupada had his lunch, and then in the afternoon, he would take coconut water about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And they used to bring in the coconuts, and they would give him these pipe, what they call pipes in India. A pipe means a straw. In America, they say a straw, it's kind of like a pipe, but it's like, with so many pipes, there's plumbing pipes and steel pipes. And at any rate, they would take this little plastic, it wasn't even plastic actually, it was paper. It was made of paper, plastic came later. In 1977, when we came, and we went to Prabhupada's room sometimes in the afternoon with many other devotees, or his darshan, then they would bring these coconuts for drinking, or one or two, with these pipes, these paper pipes. They didn't have the plastic ones, and they're very good straws, because as soon as you go to take up some, soda or coconut water, and you go like that, then the two sides of the pipe go poop. They close, because it's made out of paper, and so it doesn't have any strength. The walls of the pipe, the straw or whatever you call it, they don't have any strength. So when you go to suck up the juice from the coconut, then the thing collapses. It squeezes together and collapses, and then you... It's so frustrating, because you have this coconut with this tiny little hole in it, and there's not two holes, there's usually only one, so if you hold it up to your mouth and try to drink out of the coconut, the water gets frozen up in there because there's no air comes out. It's like a vacuum. And you try to put it in a cup and get it out, there's only one hole, it won't come out, and it's a really big mess program. So they had straws like this probably, and you can't get anything. You just get one drop, and then your program's closed out. So some devotee was very clever, so he went to Calcutta, and he had a silver straw made, a silver pipe for Prabhupada. And brought it back, and Prabhupada was so happy. They would bring the coconut with a silver straw. And silver in those days was so cheap, like, 1 rupee or something. It's nothing. 1977, silver now is becoming costly. But then it was nothing. It was some thick, so it didn't collapse. So Prabhupada would become so happy. So here, Raghava Pandit, he's offering, I don't know what kind of pipe he used for the Lord. Doesn't say. Maybe he had a silver pipe. And but the amazing thing is, after he offered the coconut water, he would bring the coconut out, and then he would notice He wanted to get some maha coconut water, and so oh my, there isn't any coconut water. He said the Lord has drunk all the coconut water. Well, he must be really thirsty today. He didn't leave any remnants. So then he would crack the coconut open and say, okay, the water's been offered, but the coconut pulp hasn't been offered. There's like two different things. One's the water and the other's the pulp. So then he would, as it says here, he would take out the pulp from the coconut and put it on another plate and go back in. So here we go, another offering. Because it's not like there's fixed, well, I already offered that. That's his offering. That's all for now until 7 o'clock. Because I offer, you know, at 7 o'clock in the morning and then 8 o'clock and then 12 o'clock, then 4 o'clock and 6 o'clock and 8 o'clock, and that's it. So you had your coconut water. It's 4 p.m. Now I'm taking this coconut out at 4:15 or 4:30 after Artik. Oh, there's no water in here. Well, anyway, it's maha. Forget about it. You know, I'll just take this coconut pulp because it's all one now. He touched it. He ate the water, so the pulp is also offered now. We can consider like that, especially if we want to eat coconut. We may make that consider. But he didn't think that, oh, this coconut, everything about this coconut is for him, for Bhagavan, for my Thakur. The water is one element of the coconut, and the coconut pulp is another element. So, although the offering's over, because when do you clear the offering, as you know? First you make an offering of bhog. This is a standard everywhere, from time immemorial. First you make an offering of bhog, and then you have an artig. A ghee lamp or flower or full artig. And then you take the mahaprasad, or you take, sometimes that's, you clear the offering after the artig, or you can clear the offering before the artig. But usually the pujari doesn't notice too much of what's going on until after the artig with the maha. So then after the, we could assume that after the artig, then he sees, oh, the coconut has been drunk. Then, okay, let me run back and make another offering. But usually the pujaris are a little excited about, like, getting down to the business of taking the mahaprasadam. So listen, I woke up to deities in the afternoon, and I prepared the bhog, I made the offering, artik. Now I want to enjoy the spoils of war. Now I want to enjoy the mahaprasad, because, after all, you know, I'm the pujari. So then he looked at the coconut and he said, oh, look at this. Offering is over, artik is over, and Lord is, he drank all the coconut water. Okay, crack the coconut, take it out, chop it in very small pieces, wash everything nicely, because there's sometimes some little junk inside there. Wash everything nicely, put it on a plate, and ding, 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 you know, clean Krishnaya Namaha, you know, and then offer this coconut, and then go out and wait another 10 minutes till he finishes the coconut, and go back and take the remnants. This is really, he's cool-headed. He's not serving the Lord for any desire than the pleasure of the Lord. Shashya samarpan kari bahire deyan shashya kana krishna kari shunya bhajan. After offering the coconut pulp, Raghava meditates outside the temple door. In the meantime, Krishna, having eaten the pulp, leaves the plate empty. Haribo. So he has a very nice relationship with his Thakurji. Shashya Kana. So Shashya Kana Krishna Kari Shunya Bhajan. Bhajan. Bhajan means plate. Bhajan. Shunya means empty. Like shunyavad, void, empty. Kabu shashya kana puna pacha bhare shamse shraddha bhare panditera prema sindhu bhase. Sometimes after eating the coconut pulp, Krishna fills the plate again with new pulp. This is actually what's happening. This is how it's happening. This is a very good point of philosophy here. We may wonder how it happens, because people challenge, wait a minute, Jack. You know, I saw you cut up this fruit. You had two apples. You cut up 10 pieces from that apple and 10 pieces. That's 20 pieces. You put them on this plate. You went in there and went ding, ding, ding. And you put some green thing on there, you know, tulsi leaf. And you came out after 20 minutes. I mean, you went ding, 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 then you went bam, 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 and then you clapped your hands a few times. And you came out, and it's still on the plate. I counted, there were 20 pieces. Now you're saying that Krishna took, he ate the offering, and he was very pleased, and he left his remnants. So the general conception, I think the general conception in devotees' minds is that somehow the Krishna eats by looking at it, Krishna eats by hearing the prayers, He just looks at the prasadam. Angani yasya sakalendriya vrittimanti pashyanti panti kalayanti charam jaganti ananda chinvaya ujjvala vigrahasya. Govinda madi purusham tamaham vajami. Govinda, he can eat with any of his senses. He can eat with his eyes, his ears. We hear this. This is a fact. His senses are transcendental, interchangeable. So, and generally devotees think that, yes, I make the offering, Krishna eats with his eyes, or this is Krishna's remnants. This means that Krishna's eaten these things. He's kind of like eating them. He's put this coconut in his mouth and kind of gargled with it. You know, he kind of... And then he spit it all out in a plate. And this is his remnants, right? Remnants means he ate it and then something came back out. Or we have some idea like this. I don't think many devotees have the idea that Krishna cleans the plate, he eats the plate completely, then he puts new coconut back there. I don't think many devotees think that. Have that idea that when I make an offering, this is what's happening. When I offer this puris or this sabji and this dal and this rice and this chapati, and that Krishna is eating everything and then putting new stuff back. But because he touched it, then it becomes chinmoy, it becomes transcendental. It's prasadam. It's his mercy. Because he put mercy means blessings. All his blessings are in there. And maybe he spits a little bit on it. So it's his Krishna phala. Because they say that the remnants of the Lord are mixed with his saliva. This is Ananti Lila. This is our philosophy. So that when we're taking prasadam, we're taking Krishna's saliva. It's called Krishna Phala. So here it's telling how, this is the mechanics, this is the spiritual mechanics of actually how it happens. For all you technocrats, spiritual technocrats, they want to know exactly how does it happen? What is it play by play? I want to know the sequence of this situation here. After eating the pulp, kabu shashya shashya kana puna patra bhare shamshe shadha bhare pandit. So sometimes after eating the pulp, Krishna fills the plate with new pulp. In this way, Raghava Pandit's faith increases and he floats in an ocean of love. Prema sindhu bhase. Bhase. How's my Bengali? So he knows Bengali. She must be thinking, what the hell is he saying? Let me see that Bengali. Anyway, we're trying our best. So this now, Egdin Faladhasha Shamskara Kariya Boga Lagaite Sevak Aila Lana. One day it so happened. This is all direct, this is all the words of Lord Chaitanya. It's in quotation marks. The author is quoting this in his book. He puts quotation marks, open quote, close quote. All of these statements are spoken by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, not by Krishna's Kaviraj. One day it so happened that 10 coconuts were properly clipped and brought by a servant to offer to the deity. So Raghava Pandit, he was a very famous Brahmin in this Panihati, and of course he had many disciples and assistants helping him in his puja. Avasara nahi hai vilamba hoila falapatra hatte sevak dware ta rahila. When the coconuts were brought, there wasn't much time to offer them because it was already late. So from this statement we hear that he's very particular, Raghava Pandit is very particular about the time of the offering. My dear friends, are we listening? Raghava Pandit was very particular about the time of the offering. There was very little time to offer because it was already late. So Prabhupada, when he taught us about deity worship, he said, this is what I want to see in my temples. This is the standard I want. I want three things. Cleanliness, punctuality, and simplicity. So cleanliness, we can understand that that's godly quality, sattvic quality. And the popular phrase is, cleanliness is, what is it? Is next to godliness. So clean means sattvagun, because the more we become clean in our habits and our thinking and our behavior, we eat sattvic ahara, pure, clean foods, even though they may be sinful, because even if we're eating sattvic ahara, if it's not offered to Krishna, it's considered sinful. That's explained in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 3, verse 13. Yagya shishashino shanto bunjate sarvakilbashe. And verses like that, that if we eat food that's not offered, then verily we're eating only sin, even if it's pomegranate juice and organically grown mung bean sprouts and all these nice things. If it's not, we go to the local yogi bhajan, healthy, happy, holy, vegetarian, whole foods, vegetarian restaurant. And like they have around the world, Yogi Bhajan has all these restaurants. And everything is so nice and sattvic, but every piece of food is sin, because none of it is offered to God. It's offered to Yogi Bhajan for his bhojan, and he's Yogi Bhajan. he's a good person. I don't mean to give him a hard time. He may not even be alive anymore, but he met Prabhupada in Berkeley in 1976 when they moved the temple. They had a very interesting conversation. He was very respectful and very appreciative of Srila Prabhupada. And there are people who used to come to our temple all the time for prasadam in Los Angeles and San Francisco, Yogi Bhajan. They like prasad. 3HO, that's their organization. 3HO, healthy, happy, and holy. I don't know, maybe you're not familiar with them. It's Yogi Bhajan Singh. His name was Yogi Bhajan Singh. He was a Sikh, preaching Sikhism to the American. As Prabhupada was preaching Gaudiya Vedanta and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy amongst the Westerners in the 70s, 60s and 70s, Yogi Bhajan was preaching Sikhism to the Americans. So they're all wearing white turbans. The ladies were wearing white turbans. The men were wearing white turbans. Everybody's wearing white yogi pants. And the ladies wore Punjabi outfits. White Punjabi outfits, and the men wore kurtas and like pajama type. They were very nice people. So he's very concerned about the time of the offering. So Prabhupada, anyone who's ever lived in a temple, they know how crazy you can go when you're a pujari. Cooks and pujaris are always like, they probably die early because their blood pressure goes way up. And they're always in anxiety. The offering, they're always looking at the clock. 5 minutes. Dive. It's like some submarine's going to get blown up by an airplane or something, trying to dive under the water. So you have to really be on your toes and watching the clock, and you're cooking something, you're looking at the clock. There's always a big, temple presidents always make sure they put a big clock in the kitchen so the cooks don't miss the time, and oh my God, I gotta make the porridge. Hurry up, roll the porridge. You know, and everything has to be on time, and everything has to be perfect. So it's really tension. It's not like, okay, it's on time, but it doesn't matter. It's a Sloppy Joe's restaurant. And you just have to get some slop out there for, anybody, some truck driver to eat. So it doesn't matter. It may be on time. You get the order. You're in a restaurant. You get the order. Come on, this guy. It's a fast order restaurant. Make it fast. Okay. And you just slap it on the plate and zip it out there. The waitress throws it down, and you eat it in 1 minute. So it's not like that. It has to be very fast, like a restaurant, but it has to be perfect, because it's for God, not for a truck driver. There's a big difference between serving a truck, although in one sense there's not, but on the level, there is a big difference between a truck driver and Bhagavan. But ultimately, we should serve a truck driver with as much love and devotion as we serve Bhagavan, because our Bhagavan is in his heart. That's the advanced devotee sees like that. Acts like that. So everyone's going crazy in the Didi room to get this coconut there on time. The servant holding the container of coconuts remains standing at the door. Dwarera upara bite tenho hatadila se hatafala churila pandit dehila. Raghava Pandit saw that the servant who was holding the coconuts touched the ceiling above the door and then touched the coconuts with the same hand. Now you can imagine, he's carrying a big plate with coconuts. It says 10 coconuts. Coconut is fairly heavy. So 10 coconuts means about 5 kilos, right? Maybe 5 kilos. So he's holding with both hands the tray. Now he's waiting to offer these to Thakurji or bring these in the room for preparation. So then he puts the tray in one hand. He's standing in the doorway. You know the doorway? And then he just reaches up to kind of, you know, maybe hold on the doorway. Put his hand up there like this. Just leaning or relaxing, changing his posture. Like somebody may go like this or like this and hold something. So he's holding the tray of 10 coconuts in his hand, waiting to go in the Didi room for the offering or whatever. And then he puts his hand up like this. And above the door, there's so much dust. And then he takes his hand down and touches a plate. And then we'll hear, and Raghava Pandit noticed this. Oh, he touched that doorway, and that may be some dust or some dirt or smoke up there. Then he touched the plate. These coconuts are finished.